friends. Chris Sauter, lead pastor at Neighborhood Church. We work hard at creating content every week that is life-giving and inspiring for people to live a full life. So we're inviting people who find this stream to be life-giving and encouraging to consider becoming a sustaining member at Neighborhood Church. That could be a one-time gift or to subscribe monthly. And you can do that at neighborhoodchurchmn.org. Thank you, friends, and enjoy the message. So thanks, Steve. That was great.
You're very welcome. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Steve. Kate and I, and hopefully, Kate, this isn't a part of your message, but I met Kate when we were at the Janssen's house. We were doing a common table, and Kate showed up. Yeah, that was common table. Yeah. Right? Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Well, we met, you were on your... It was right around the time that we've not gone public yet, that we were transitioning to become Neighborhood Church. And one of the big driving factors of why we did what we did was to be an inclusive, affirming community to the queer community. So when I met her, she asked, like, well, what kind of church are you? At least this is what I remember. And I'm like, actually, you're never going to believe it. We are becoming this new community, and here's why. Her eyes got real big. I was like, I've been looking for a church like this. And it's like the timing could not have been better. And we became, very quickly, we became friends. I do that with everyone, clearly, because I'm such a great guy. But like, Kate really just got a piece of just like the best of me. And I'm like, this woman is special. She's dynamic. You could tell it right from the beginning. And she's going to be actually preaching for the very first time in her life, which shocks me, because anyone with any kind of sense would be like, whose voice do we need to hear? It's people like Kate. So, Kate, you can unmute yourself, and I'm so thankful and excited to hear your story.
Awesome. Thank you, Chris. I'll never forget that day that we were at the Johnson's house. So you guys, just to give you a little bit of background, and I don't want this to be included in my 25-minute limit, Pastor Chris. that is a short amount of time for me to talk, because I love to talk. But I had just been diagnosed with breast cancer, and I traveled from Roseau to Duluth to receive treatment. And anywhere I go, I just have to have community. I think I'm like a female version of Chris, like, and I just want everybody to be my friend. And I don't like anybody to be a stranger. And I was like signing up for these dinner groups and stuff. I was like, I have to meet people. If I have to live here and go through cancer, I need to know people. And so anyways, my daughter had told the youth pastor at the time, yeah, my mom is a little fishy about church. Like, my mom isn't so sure. So like, Kaylee had told you, Chris. And then Chris asked me, like, hey, so what's your deal with church? Like, why is it a hard thing for you right now? Like, because your daughter told the youth pastor. And I was like, oh man, I want these people to like me. Because that's all I ever knew, is like, oh my gosh, I'm outed. And so, but you know what? I had cancer. I was like, I don't know if I have 6 weeks, 6 years. What? I don't, you know what? Church is really upsetting to me lately, actually. And it has been for a long time. And I'm just sick of the exclusivity and the lack of inclusivity. And when Chris dropped that bomb on me, you guys, if I wasn't sitting, my knees would have buckled. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Like, this church I had followed on Instagram was all of a sudden my new church home for the most vulnerable time of my life, and very scary time. And so thank you, Chris, for doing those big steps. At that time, I never would have. I was like, how do you deal with people leaving? How do you deal with people disagreeing with you? That's scary. And that was super scary for me for a long time. So when I approached, or when he asked me to speak, I was so excited, because over the years, I've just realized, when I'm trying to explore, like, what is my purpose here? I'm a mom of six, you know, I'm married, but what is my purpose? And this love of just like communicating with people and touching base with people and meeting people where they're at and just trying to lift them up, that is what makes me feel alive. And for Chris to ask me to be here to talk with you today, it's a tremendous honor. My most powerful services that I've ever witnessed were when the speakers on the stage were vulnerable and open and honest. I don't like the concept of that vision of perfection and like aim here. I like when people just show up dirty and broken, and then we can be in community and help each other out. And so that's where I wanted to show up here today, like that. I wanted to be super honest with where I am right now in my life. And so I said, Chris, are you okay if I kind of talk about being a recovering evangelical? He was like, yeah, of course. You guys know Pastor Chris and Nikki and how they are inclusive. Just show up as you are and we'll go from there. It is a beautiful and wonderful thing. And when I say recovering evangelical, I hope that that is not meant to be offensive to anybody. It's just the way it is. And I am at a place where I'm like, I will explain it to you as best as I can. Maybe that will baffle some of you, and maybe it will create a place for some of you to relate and go from there. So anyways, I feel like I grew up with kind of a pretty good evangelical resume. I went to church with my family until fifth grade, and we were like every Sunday attendees. However, something happened when I was about fifth grade, and my parents, I don't think, have been back to church since. And so that was not a part of my life. And when I discovered God again as a teenager, I was like all out. I'm the kind of personality where I don't do much halfway. If I find something I love, I want everybody to know about it, whether it's a restaurant or a product or a church or whatever. So I was like the classic 90s Jesus freak. And I wish I was in person with you guys, because I would be like, who are my Jesus freaks out there? And we could probably say all the lyrics. But gosh, I went to retreats. I went to the Sunshine Music Festival. My parents would drop me off at church every Sunday and every Wednesday. I ended up working for the church my senior year of high school as the nursery worker. And I just did it all. You guys, even when I got married, hang with me here. I know this is a family show, but like, we waited till we were married. If that is not the gold star to heaven, what is? I mean, come on, you guys. That was all my husband, by the way. He was Mr. Purity Culture for sure. and then we had a ton of kids. I mean, we have six kids and two of them are Black. We did another evangelical thing and adopted internationally. And again, I hope that is not offensive. I'm more so making fun of myself. We did it at the time. We pursued adoption because we believed it was what God had in store for us. We thought we were helping. We thought we were filling a need. It was the Enneagram 2 in me showing up, but I'm actually really a 3. But anyways, I just, we were doing what we thought was the right thing to do. In hindsight, now, fast forward to where I am today, I'm looking back at everything and I'm extremely critical. Critical of myself, critical of the systems, critical of wasted time. And I turned 40 this year and I just want to say, you know what? Fresh start. I've overcome breast cancer. I've done a lot of things. Fresh start, new perspective. And that's what brings me here today. I'm just, as I heal from some of the experiences I've had, trying to find my way in a Christian church, and more so in a conservative Christian environment, I'm wondering what has been fabricated and what is true. What has been made up? What has been created? What has been built by humans? And what did God not intend? What did God want from us? And what did God intend? What is our own power? What is our own fear showing up in our church communities? So recently, I got the book Untamed by Glennon Doyle. This is something I said, Chris, are you sure I can mention this author? He was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure Neighborhood Church did a book talk or a book group on it. I bought the book. It's so pretty, but a lot of people recommended it to me. But time is crazy around here in the chances of me sitting down to read a book are really low. So I did get the audiobook as well. And you guys, wow. I really want to be an author as well, but I kind of feel like Glennon Doyle, Rachel Held Evans, they've all written it for me, like right here. So Rachel Held Evans, Glennon Doyle. I also wanted to give a shout out to the book Becoming Brave by Brenda Salter McNeil, and also Be the Bridge by Latasha Morrison. Great books for right now. Anyways, I was reading right away. In the prologue, she talks about a trip that she took with her wife and kids to a zoo. And there's this cheetah that, you know, they're all drawn to. And the cheetah is chasing the back of a Jeep, this pink stuffed animal. And it's trained to chase this Jeep back and forth every day for all these zoo goers. And one of their daughters said, you know, is the cheetah actually really happy here? Like, what? How can this cheetah, this wild animal, be okay with just chasing this pink thing, never catching it, eating store-bought steak? Like, it's a cheetah. And it just painted for me like a really interesting picture. And it kind of named what I've been experiencing over the years, this like unsettling feeling. The daughter said, or Glennon said, that she wishes she could ask the cheetah. As the cheetah finishes the show, finishes the performance, and looks out into the wilderness, what is that cheetah thinking? And Glennon says, I knew what she'd tell me. She'd say, something is off about my life. I feel restless and frustrated. I have this hunch that everything was supposed to be more beautiful than this. Sorry, I missed a word here. I imagine fenceless, wide open savannas. I want to run and hunt and kill. I want to sleep under an ink black silent sky filled with stars. It's all so real, I can taste it. Then she'd look back at the cage, the only home she'd ever known. She'd look at the smiling zookeepers, the bored spectators, and her panting, bouncing, begging best friend, Layla, or the lab, sorry. She'd say, I should be grateful. I have a good enough life here. It's crazy to long for what didn't even exist, what doesn't even exist. And you guys, for so long, I have wondered, am I the wrong gender? Like, I would love to speak in churches, but I don't have the right parts according to the churches I've been a part of. Like, is something wrong? Am I in the wrong skin color? Because honestly, white people drive me crazy lately. I'm sorry, but wow. And then was I born in the wrong state? I hate the winter, you know, like, but here I am, Minnesota, my whole life. And did God put me in the wrong community? Am I supposed to be here right now? And that has spiraled. Like, am I supposed to be Christian? Am I supposed to be in a church? Am I supposed to do this? Like, who am I? Am I? And why am I here? And you guys, that captivity of my own self started to drive me crazy. Another thing that has driven me crazy is I'm a family of eight. And as you guys know, mom's like, you know, that's a lot of responsibility. We've been through a lot. Distance learning, hello. And then six kids. My kids are 14, 11, 11, 9, 9, and 2. So they've all been removed from the home today because there's no way I could have done this with them here. And, you know, being around each other 24/7, they are full distance learning. I started to go a little crazy. And so I have to admit to you, I lasted a long time, but I broke the quarantine. I'm a quarantine failure. I needed to get out. I have three boys and three girls. I took my three boys and I went to Colorado and we looked for dinosaur bones and we did cool stuff and, you know, had tons of bonding. One of the things I did was I took them to a zoo. Spoiler alert, it was totally lame because COVID, but like nothing was out. Anyways, they did have a tiger exhibit and I thought about this book Untamed by Glennon Doyle and I watched the tiger. I also thought about Tiger King from, you know, when quarantine first happened, but I thought about this book by Glennon Doyle and Tabitha the cheetah, and I watched the tiger, and at the Denver Zoo, it was like they had this big cage bridge where the tiger was pacing back and forth, but high up in the sky so that, you know, all the more spectators could see it. And I all of a sudden the tiger just like pounced as far as it could, like in this weird cage. And I looked and there was a bird behind, and everything that with everything in that tiger at the time wanted to be out of that cage and pounce on that bird, but it couldn't because of the cage. I noticed the same thing, and it just paced back and forth. And then I saw the same thing at the Denver Aquarium where I took my boys. There was a tiger exhibit at an aquarium of all places, but that tiger kept pacing back and forth along the glass. Just this worn path that it paced. And I thought, here I am for 5 minutes. Is this what this tiger does all day long? When I got home and I started getting ready for this talk, I looked up tigers in captivity, or behavior of tigers in captivity. If you Google it, you'll see the same thing I did. There's a thing called zoochosis, which happens when tigers are in captivity, and they literally, they go crazy, and they pace, and they pace and rock and lick like their fur off, all these things. And it's like they're caged. They are captive. And so I guess today I just want to talk about what is keeping you captive in either your work, home life, church, wherever it may be. Are there things that are keeping you captive? And what are those things? And how do we break free? And how do we become who we are meant to be? Because I'm pretty confident that God did not design those tigers to be our entertainment in a cage. Okay, you see it at the circus with elephants. You see it, you know, they look old and dried and shriveled. You see it at SeaWorld and the whales, their fins, their dorsal fins are over. What has been a cage for me? I would say the approval of others, fitting in. I love people deeply and I want to like everybody. I want to love everybody. And in turn, I think I want everybody to like me too. And that is what I held as an idol for so long. And at what expense? I had to die to my own soul over and over again. I was like this pacing tiger. Like, okay, maybe if I just walk, maybe if I just hold it out a little bit longer, I will be happy or I will be free. Or I would see that bird flapping in the distance. I would see an opportunity to speak or lead or share ideas, and it would be cut off by a cage. Some cages put up by people around me, others put up by myself. But you guys, I got zoochosis. But do you know what they call that in human words? Mental health issues. I say that because I didn't know why I was a happy, I'm a happy person. I have everything I could ever want. Why am I so sad? I started getting debilitating anxiety, debilitating depression, and I was so confused and I doubted everything. I doubted everything. My measures of success were off. My measures of success were off. I wasn't working hard to be the person who God intended for me to be. I was looking too hard to be the person, a nice Kate, who everybody else wanted me to be. And I think it was starting to kill me slowly. It's hard to live in hiding. Like I felt like I had to stay hidden for the things that made my soul feel alive. And again, it's just not a good thing, whether it's like addressing social justice issues or a woman's place in church, my desire to speak, traveling the world, inspiring women, all these things, like whether it was in church or just like my own boundaries. Again, it's just like I was holding back out of fear of what others would think. Church became difficult and a huge piece of that, where I felt like I was very enthusiastic about being there, but I started to enter church with an armor on. This armor was a method of defense because I had been, as my parents had ended church for our family when I was in fifth grade, well, lo and behold, when my oldest was in fifth grade, I started to get deeply hurt by things within the church. And so I held on extra tight. when people said, Kate, why don't you just leave then? I was like, no, my children need to know the Lord. I'm not going to repeat what had happened in my family. I want church. I want church. And that, again, so it was like holding on to some things that didn't align right. And I thought, well, if I leave, how will anything change? People said, Kate, no church will be perfect ever. You just got to go with it. I tried to be respectful, like, okay, this is their church. I'm coming in as an outsider to a small town where everybody knows each other. Everybody's related. Here I am coming in. I can't rock the boat. You know, all these things, like slowly building a cage of holding back. So anyways, I just became increasingly frustrated in my small little town in an evangelical world where it was like the prayer requests were very, I know it's like pray for health, people who are mourning, you know, things like that. But I sat through church the day after after Christians were gunned down in a black church on the East Coast in not Charlottesville, but Charleston. And there was not one mention of this Bible study that happened where white supremacists came in and gunned them down during their Bible study. And I just thought, are we ignoring an issue or like, why can't we talk about this? And things like that. I just felt like there was a lot of injustice in the world and we were thinking that we were okay by just ignoring it rather than talking about it and praying about it. I got frustrated that, you know, we send people overseas to take selfies with vulnerable children. Sorry, I mean, serve them and love on them. But then when it came time, when like there was a whole group of people of color that moved to our community to help our manufacturing, I had a real hard time finding anybody who would want to make cookies and deliver them, make them feel welcome, or invite them to church or bring rides. Like, why can we, what is this where we can like go to other countries and say we love them, but then turn them away at their most vulnerable, scary times of their life and tell them they're criminals? And social media only added to this. I'm sure you guys can relate, but seeing people say that they loved my children and my family, and then seeing some of the comments and posts on social media, what a mind-blowing experience. Wait, you supported the adoption, but if an unarmed person of color gets shot down, you think they deserved it? What? Like, I mean, you guys, those are the things that really started to drive me crazy. Literally crazy. What else? I'm so confident that churches are supposed to be a place where people are drawn in. And there were so many, as we tried to find home in a church, it became, I almost started to like gaslight myself. Like, is something wrong with me? Is something wrong? I was in 2006, I think I was like 23 years old, hadn't been married just a few years, pregnant with our first baby. And I remember I had membership papers for a church in my hand and I was sitting in church. I was so excited. I was going to join after taking all the classes and doing all the things. And then the pastor stood up with a petition in his hand and said, the gays want to get married. Like, please sign this petition to try to put an end to it. And you guys, I thought somebody took a baseball bat and whacked it against my chest. I was very young and naive, and I could not believe, why is he doing this? I started crying. I was like breathing funny, like, and I left, and we left, and we had hours of conversation. I tried to bring perspective of how, why that was hurtful. And he was so surprised. You think this is bad of me to do this? Yes. What if somebody's gay sitting in the, like, what? He then sent me lots of propaganda and very hurtful literature. And I still have it to this day because I was so convinced that someday this would be seen as crazy. But it was then that I started to pursue, like, it's like a, like an artifact, like, look at what people used to think. I started to pursue what's called people of faith. And I was like 9 months pregnant. I went to a rally at the state capitol for people, for believers who thought these restrictions on the LGBTQ community were not okay. And I had that moment where like the cage opened and I could see, and I was like, there's people out there like me. It was just so beautiful. It was one of the most worshipful, wonderful experiences of my life. I drove 6 hours to attend that one rally. And at the same time, it made me feel alive, yet I quenched it. I squished it. I said, if anybody knows I was here, they would be done with me. I wouldn't be able to get hired at school. I was a teacher looking for a job. I'm like, if they knew I was here, they wouldn't like me. My church would kick me out. They won't let me teach Sunday school. They will, whatever, whatever. And all that, something I felt so alive about that could serve people and make people feel valued and loved, I kept quiet to please people that don't matter. They don't matter in my life. They don't. I love them. Like, I have so much love for the people that I like. Chris, I can see Chris laughing at me. I talk about this stuff, but I wish I would need a whole nother half an hour to tell you how much I love the people that I went to church with. And that's why it hurts. And that's why I'm mad. That's why I'm sad, because I loved them deeply, deeply. And I know that they're capable of better. But when they hire people who have a history of nasty, hateful behavior, and I beg them to see it, and they just look straight forward and they take them in. That, nope, he's our guy to lead. When they approach me after saying that women have no place, they were like, there was a situation where they needed an associate pastor and they couldn't find anybody. And at a meeting, I said, would you ever consider like opening it up to women? No, it was just flat out. No, that was it. I thought, I told them, I remember I was standing there with a microphone, scared out of my mind. I said, you're selling yourself short. Like, you are cutting out a huge piece of a talented pool of people who could serve us well. That a couple days later, I had somebody from the search committee come to my home and sit on my couch. Come on in. And they said, hey, Kate, would you like to be a deacon? And I thought, what? Like, me standing up, did that make that much change in just a couple of days? What on earth just happened? Are you serious? And she was like, yeah, it's like education and building community and having gatherings and serving families and all these things. And my mind is just blown. Like, I get to do this in a church environment. Are you kidding me? What changed? And she was like, well, you and Jacob would do it together. Now, let me tell you about my Jacob. You will not see him on social media. He will say he hates people. We are the exact opposite. I'm the Chris, he's the Nikki. Nikki doesn't say she hates people, but I'm just saying, he wants nothing to do with that. Nothing. Like, I could barely get him to church on Sunday. Well, you and Jacob would do it. Oh, Jacob doesn't like building community, or like, he's a total introvert. And so, he doesn't desire that, but I do. I said, okay, so I'll get to go to meetings then. Like, I'll get to show up. Well, no, Jacob would go. Oh, okay. Huh. Would my name be like on the, spoken like a true Enneagram 3? Would my name be in the program? Would my name be in the program? No, just Jacob. And I said, wait a minute. Is it Jacob who gets the job and then I do all the work? Well, it's not really like that. I mean, you'd work together as a team. And I just said, that is one of the most offensive things that anybody's ever asked of me. I got out of the cage a little bit that day. We left the church. That was too much. I was like, you can't ask me to do this huge job that feeds my soul so that I can serve your church and make it. But I don't have the right body part. Like, that just blows my mind. Don't dangle this amazing opportunity in front of me, but then tell me I'm not allowed, that my husband has to go do it undercover for me. Where are we going wrong? Where are we going wrong? There's so many things. I can't, those things just kept happening over and over again. We bounced from church, there's two churches that fit our worship style, and we ended up kind of bouncing between. I held on for as long as I could. But there were times where it was just too painful. In your statement of faith, church, evangelical church, I'm not saying the evangelical people, anyways, broadly, churches out there, your exclusivity of the gay community should not be in your statement of faith. It should not be your front doorstep. It shouldn't be there at all. But there it is, becoming the most pressing issue of your time. And the world is watching. And I've asked, through trembling hands and tear-streaked face, I've asked you to stop and reconsider. Talk, learn, read, explore, go outside your bubble and find out why this is so harmful. And it doesn't work. It fails every time because everybody is scared of something. Everybody's scared of leaving their cage. They're safe in the cage and they don't want to find out what's on the other side. I even had church leadership tell me, Kate, I'm voting with you. I don't think this is okay, but if they find out I think that, I won't have a job anymore. You guys were clinging to things that don't matter. It took me a long time to realize that. It took many devastating things in my life to realize that. It took COVID and being excluded from the world and going, huh, maybe my family is enough. Maybe God is enough. Maybe these people that I have spent so much time bending over backwards for and trying to please, huh, now they've been taken from my life and because COVID, I'm like, I'm okay. And not only am I okay, but now it's like I have room to grow in the way that I need to. And after George Floyd died, we had more issues within the church. And I'm just maybe not, I mean, you can Google my name and read the news coverage about it, but when the church showed up and couldn't stand against racism, and when they contributed to racism, that was done. I busted out of that cage like the fiercest lion you'd ever see. I became Kate the Tiger. I was like, because I got exposed, I came down to the cities. I went to his memorial and I found my people. Neighborhood church helped me find my people. I was like, Jake, I feel alive. Like, I feel like I found my jungle, my people who come together and help each other stand for justice and stand for inclusivity, who love each other well. I was watching social media make huge judgments about people of color, George Floyd, what was happening in Minneapolis. And I went down to find out myself and I found my truths. I saw what I needed to see. I felt what I had to feel. And I was exposed to life outside the cage. So combined with world travel and like all the different, you know, just different books and neighborhood church, all these things, I got to find out that life outside of the cage isn't scary at all. It is uncomfortable, but being uncomfortable tells you how to move. If you're in labor and you've got a back pain, a contraction, that's your body's way of telling you what you have to do to help get baby out. I tell you, my baby's out. I am like out in the real world now. I am so excited to continue to find home for my husband and me, my children. And I can only hope that, just like I said before, when I find something good, I want other people to experience it too. I want you to find what is the right place for you. I want you to escape from your cage, from your anxiety, from your depression, from questioning who you are. When you hide that in, it's at what expense? What is that costing you? Is it okay to be uncomfortable and get outside of your comfort zone? Yes, ask all the questions. Ask. As I peel back the layers and unlearning of everything I've done over the years in the church, I'm finding, even though there's like tons of like socially justice-minded churches down here, I can't even like hear a hymn without feeling a little like jaded. You know, I hear like, I don't know, all of it. It's just like, what? I don't know. I think 2021 for me on a personal level, I need to find out, who is God and build from there? it's like, I can't have any extras. It's like, I need the nachos without all the toppings. I just need to find the goodness of God. What does the Bible really say? And how can I love people well? That's it. And I don't know. It's just, that's where I am. I did have cancer. It's what led me to neighborhood. I don't think that's an accident. A coach I work with for my business, she said, Kate, I don't think that you got cancer so that you would die. She said, I think you got cancer so you could live. I agree. It had to take my mortality, my question of whether my earthly life would continue, to wake up and live. So don't wait. Don't wait till a cancer diagnosis, you guys. Don't. Before I close, I want to just address one thing, that it is Martin Luther King Day tomorrow. And if you can tell, I have a heart for racial injustice and racial reconciliation. And the term anti-racism came into all of our lives in 2020. And all the work, all the reading, I didn't know that term until George Floyd died. And I want to just encourage you and put a bug in your ear that if that is something that you want to learn more about, make a plan and put it into action. I want to just call myself out as far as, let's go back to the Denver Zoo and the Denver Aquarium, where I was paying money to see those tigers in cages. Was I helping the tigers there? The zookeepers would tell me, your donation, your ticket helps contribute to their food and safety and their medicine and all that stuff. You're helping them by being here. You're okay. Like, we're here to entertain you. Thanks for coming. You guys, I only contributed to the problem by being there. People say, Kate, you're being too hard on yourself. No, I can look back and tell you 100 things that I've done with good intention that had a harmful impact. Me showing up at that zoo to take in those tigers for entertainment, I was adding to the problem. So with that being said, people don't like me to ask them to be uncomfortable, but I want you to think in your life. It wasn't until 2020 where I realized I was part of systems that oppressed others, that I had huge privilege in so many areas of my life, and recognizing that and naming it. I have a list here just some things that you can think about. Like, if you don't have proximity to color, for so long, my only proximity work to people of color was like the shoebox videos in church. Like, oh yeah. Oh, I have proximity to color. I'm not a racist. I went to Haiti and I helped those people. No, I didn't. No. That money actually could have been used to help my boys' birth mothers keep their sons that they love. But that's a sermon for a different day. I want you to think, if you really want to learn and know what is going on, podcasts, authors that are women, men of color, get out and know people, find authors that don't look like you, listen, seek, maybe start to even just realize that Jesus wasn't white. That's gotta be like a fact, right, Chris? Like, I mean, come on. It all starts with us. So I'll leave it at that. Let me close with a prayer from Rachel Held Evans. And don't forget, you guys, you're a cheetah, capable of more. God made you for more. This is from Rachel Held Evans. She is somebody who was my same age, and she is no longer living. And so that's really heavy. She's somebody who I feel like if I wrote a book, it would just be copying everything she wrote. This is called Searching for Sunday. It is so good, you guys. I'm just going to read. It's called Searching for Sunday, Loving, Leaving, and Finding the Church. God, go with us. Help us to be an honor to the church. Give us the grace to follow Christ's word, to be clear in our task and careful in our speech. Give us open hands and joyful hearts. Let Christ be on our lips. May our lives reflect a love of truth and compassion. Let no one come to us and go away sad. May we offer hope to the poor and solace to the disheartened. Let us so walk before God's people that those who follow us might come into his kingdom. Let us sow living seeds, words that are quick with life, that faith may be the harvest in people's hearts. In word and in example, let your light shine in the dark like the morning star. Do not allow the wealth of the world or its enchantment flatter us into silence as to your truth. Do not permit the powerful or judges or our dearest friends to keep us from professing what is right. Amen. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Kate. That was awesome. I feel like a more appropriate song for the to end this would have been a Smashing Pumpkin song, I know, but I don't know it, so I'm not going to play it. And I apologize for that. But that was great. I'm going to end with us with a song. I know it's not in the programs, but it's called Great Are You, Lord. It's a familiar song people know. And if you don't know it, could look it up on Google. It's a pretty popular song by Jason Ingram, Leslie Jordan, and David Leonard. And feel free to sing along. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out. Pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, you only. Great are you, Lord. It's your life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Your praise, our hearts will cry.